Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
We're back, and I'm Susie Starlight.
Welcome to the Supertone Show.
Campbell, The Voting Machine. And that's our forthcoming second single from our new studio album, Starlight One. It was released on the 1st of September this year, 2023, on the Supertone record label.
We're fucked.
We
absolutely fucked. We've been away for a month on tour. And I've been a full-time musician for a long time, since I was like 17, really. And I've never known a tour like this. Now, you know, okay, I'm not 30 anymore. I'm not 16 anymore. But the amount of driving that we did, the loading in and loading out, the playing, the technical stress of it all, because we decided to go out as a trio, so we had a lot of MIDI stuff for firing sequences and bloody all sorts of stuff. And basically the UK is not capable of dealing with this type of show. And this outfit. That is the whole thing, you know? Mm. There's nobody in to load us in as load us out. There's technical spec of the venues, has been questionable. Some have been great, but a lot of it's been questionable. But having said all that, we had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
We played to some fantastic audiences, some sold-out shows. We recorded a video at the Met in Bury. And they are a beacon. Beacon, I'm going to say it one more time, a beacon of excellence in the sea of shit, which is the UK music scene. And, you know, I when I say a beacon of excellence, no matter where you are in the world, they're as good as anybody.
Of course, yeah, they're brilliant.
Chris McClung on lights, and he manages the whole technical side of it.
And Dan.
Brilliant. Dan, who recorded it in the studio, because we did a full, professional multi-track recording of it. There's, of course, the mighty Tyrion.
Oh, Tyrion on, Moses on sound, yeah.
On sound. And Tyrion, he's a man of metal. He's got a big beard, and we've been there a few times now, haven't we? You know,
it was like coming home. Well, it's always going home.
Yeah, it's
there,
always
actually.
Like coming home. So, and it was brilliant. We got there and we had a full back projection.
The multimedia.
Multimedia, Starlight did all these videos.
I spent weeks editing all these art videos for every single song because we didn't actually know what songs we were going to play until we got the tour going to find out what worked. You've got to be in front of an audience to really vibe it, haven't you?
Totally.
And then we had the footage that NASA sent me.
Yep.
Dear NASA, please can I have some footage from space for our... This is who we are, and we've got Starlight 1, it's a spaceship, blah. And yeah, so NASA sent us some footage, which... I'm glad you said that, by the way, because it's really good just to be honest about it, about, you know...
Well, what we're doing is that because, of course, accompanying this podcast that we do now every week, because we've had 4 weeks off, and we didn't mean to have 4 weeks off because we were supposed to be recording a load of shows in advance, weren't we? But we just didn't have the time.
Literally, we couldn't do it.
It was just crazy.
We were doing like 16-hour days.
Yeah.
For weeks.
And we've done this as DIY. Now, this is not a hard luck story. It's not. I'm not expecting people to cry in their latte. Boom, boom.
Nice.
But that's right. You know, we don't want to get sparky about it. Whoa! Ooh. But because this is what we do. And this is what we do for a living. And this is what, But I think attempting this in a totally DIY...
Well, the two of us, and then with Hugo.
With the mighty Hugo, yeah, because Hugo is not used to this type of you know, I think he was quite shocked when about the UK, the way it is,
yeah,
you know, in the UK. And really, it's always been like that, unless you're playing bigger venues. You know, if you're playing bigger venues and you can hire crew and crew there and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But we were playing a lot of grassroots places. Now, you know, having said that, you know, we had to load in, load out, all that sort of carry on. But they haven't actually got the money to actually provide the support. And they haven't got the money to upgrade the PAs because, you know, the UK music scene is in... crisis. I mean, there's two. Is it two venues closing every week?
Yeah,
grassroots.
From Sean in Drowning Sound, it's on his Substack. I shared it today because it's like, God, it's so soul destroying. You know,
it is. But as I said, we had a great time, and the music. I mean, considering we're doing something completely different, I think it shocked a lot of people. It scared a lot of people to death because we were, you know, people came on to see us as a blues rock band, really. And this album is not blues rock.
No.
It's progressive rock, it's art rock, it's everything but, well, that first track, that says it all, The Voting Machine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's something totally different, which we're very, very excited about. And I think we've converted a lot of our existing supporters.
Yeah, I think
you know,
sometimes
we sold loads of vinyl, sold loads of merch. It was a brilliant.
It's been so heartening for the receipt for the reviews and people just, you know, if they haven't heard us before, they've had no expectations of anything. Didn't know that we did a blues album to start with 5 years ago,
right.
Or British blues, which is different. And the people who hear us for the first time just going, wow, you know, and love Starlight One. And then they delve back into our back catalogue. And the people that knew us and have been with us all along have kind of, because, you know, you just don't like one genre. You like bands from all different styles. And so I didn't see it as much of a problem, really. But I'm just really happy at the effusive receipt of the music. It's and it has been an eye opener and great to see everybody, I've got to say. And we'll be mentioning specific people as well with thanks, you know, throughout the show. But it was put like this: you can't buy that experience in a brochure, can you?
Well, you can't, no. And of course, we're doing an accompanying blog with this, so we're going to detail each day,
yeah,
probably 2 days at a time in our blog, which is vibes.starlight-campbell.com.
Yeah.
And we'll be decent that over the next few weeks. So,
yeah,
hold on to your pants.
Indeed. And we've still got hope in our hearts.
Yes, hope in our hearts and love in our bellies.
Mine is the only truth I've found. The flame is its own reason.
listening to the Supertone Show with Susie Starlight and Simon Campbell. And that was Silver Apples, program from the second album, Contact, released in 1969 on Cap Records. That's not crap, it's Cap. And their debut self-titled album, Silver Apples, was released the year before. And these two albums established them as a groundbreaking force in the world of electronic music.
Silver Apples.
1969. It was recorded at various studios and locations across New York City and produced by Barry Bryant, who was credited as Benny Wright on the album. He worked closely with the band, and his production played a key role in shaping the distinctive electronic and experimental sound. And these guys have totally transformed electronic music.
I love Silver Apples.
They have.
The thing is, the reason why we're playing this track tonight is we are going to play you songs from the playlist that we put together that inspired us over the last year for writing Starlight One.
Correct.
And the playlist was called Six Friendly Monkeys Living Under the Stairs.
It is.
And some of the monkeys actually are on the front cover of Starlight One, the album.
And more of them are in the inside cover.
Yeah, because that's the vinyl listening lounge on board Starlight One.
Is it a troop of monkeys? I don't know.
A menace of monkeys.
Well,
they are. They're up to no good, some of those monkeys. But so that's the reason why, because Silver Apples was actually one of the first, it is the first track on the playlist.
It is. But when you listen to this, if you think about it, it's 1969, and you listen then to Can, Noi, Kraftwerk,
yep.
Depeche Mode, Stereolab, Aphex Twin, Chemical Brothers, and of course Us, you hear the influences. I mean, there's no bass guitar, it's all, and what I really like about it as well is that there's, they've taken that sort of that vocal thing over the top, which is a very dry vocal. They've got slightly out of time samples because they want samples in those days. They had to get bits of tape and play them back, you know, and all that, like, you know, the orchestral bits and the violins. It's all slightly, but it's really, really cool the way they've put it together. Bearing in mind the technology back then, you know,
yeah,
it was quite remarkable, and it still stands up today. It still sounds great.
I thought you were going to say the vocals are slightly out of tune because it sounds a little bit Muted Blues esque, doesn't it? The way, you know, it's just slightly not quite pitch perfect. The way that whole vocal
of course,
thing.
They could have stolen stuff from the Moody's because the Moody's was before this, of course. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, but what I do love is that electronic stuff as well, because that that the top of the octave is slightly sharp.
Mm.
But of course, it does it matter? No, it just sounds great.
Tomorrow night. and worse, much worse, son, than massacres of ages, too many to recall. Was your best friend, motherless children and temptress widows, the wild, the useless, the dead, the untamable. Don't stay in the street, lucky I don't shoot on the spot. Our bullets were made for men like you, the impotent idiots God forgot. Tonight you decide which corner takes residence, which room looms forever in your mind. But now you're on your own, we don't need men like you.
MIDI. Welcome to Hell, the lead single from their third studio album, Hellfire, and that was released on the 9th of May in 2022 on Rough Trade Records. And they recorded that, you know, over a 13-day period at Hoxha HQ in London with producer Marta Salonghi, who'd previously worked with the band in recording the song John L from the second album. And it entered the album charts when it was released a couple of months later, the full album, at number 22, and it became the band's highest charting album to date, Black Midi.
Well, you listen to that, and listen to Silver Apples.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly there's been some influence there. What I do love about that is it's chaotic, but organised. It's an organised chaos. Great drumming, great guitar. Very dramatic when that boom, 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 boom. It's, you know, wonderful, wonderful arrangement. I like his voice. It's sort of a bit demonic, and he's like a ranting, what were they called? A ranting Scottish preacher, a Whigamore. That was what they were called.
I've never heard
Whigs.
Of that before. Really?
Yeah, the Whigs. Now, were they conservatives?
Yeah,
or were they liberals?
The Whigs. Ooh. I thought the Whigs were Tories.
Yeah, I think they are, yeah, the Whigamores, yeah, that's it. The ranting Scottish preacher,
so
that's what it sounds like. Anyway, so
random knowledge coming out here.
Yeah.
Like neural pathways connecting in strange ways.
But great production. I love the production. It was nominated for a Mercury Prize, quite rightly so.
Yeah.
It's
a concept album.
Yeah, and, well, yeah. Very unconventional, but just really, really, really cool, you know?
Yeah, I like those guys.
Yeah, they say that, you know, they're influenced by Sonic Youth and Captain Beefheart and Slint stuff, but I don't know. It's sort of, to me, it sort of comes more electronic. And it's progressive. It's progressive rock, really. You know, because, you know, as I say, it's unsettling a little bit. First time I heard it, I remember playing it to you. You didn't like it because I was listening to it on one of those the walks with the girls. I
remember you actually coming back and playing it, and I thought, what's that? But I think sometimes you've got to be in the right frame of mind, and I was probably busy doing something, you know, because actually when you just kind of go, oh, what's going on there then? Because I always remember a friend just saying, you know, if something kind of upsets you, that's a good thing. If something, like, makes you think what's going on, that's a good thing. Because it's not just serving the same piece of bread and butter on the plate to you, you know, the same type of thing. Music's telling you stories to look at the world and experience the world in different ways because it's always changing. And I think, you know, music should change with it.
Absolutely. I mean, when we first heard that Low record, you know, I mean, that was great, you know, because the first single when it came up, the video.
And, stunning.
Yeah. And on the playlist, this Six Friendly Monkeys, there's a Low track straight after this.
It, yeah.
And you, it's almost, it should be played together, and perhaps we should have played it next, I don't know. Anyway, but the most important thing about this band is the names of the guys involved, which is the fantastic Geordie Greep on vocals and guitar, Cameron Picton, and Matt Kelvin. This sound like a Motley Crue.
And Morgan Simpson on the drums.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a Motley drummer.
As free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart. Live free, and beauty surrounds you. The world still astounds you. It's time you look at a star. Stay free, where no walls divide you. You're free as a roaring tide, so there's no need to hide. Worth living, but only worth living 'cause you're born free. Worth living, but only worth living 'cause you're born free.
You're listening to the Supertone Show with Susie Starlight and Simon Campbell. And that was Matt Monro, the man with the golden voice. Born Free, of course, released a single, and the title track of the album released in the UK on September 23rd, 1966, and in the USA on October the 14th, 1966, on Capitol record label. Recorded at various studios, including CTS Studios in London, and produced by the lovely John Barry, who worked a lot, of course, on the Bond stuff. And you can start to hear that Bond-esque arrangement. Beautiful orchestration. And what a voice.
I love that song.
The thing that I remember about this song, I know your mum loved it.
Yeah.
And she loved Matt Monro. And I remember when we were in Germany, and we were just moved in, and we were putting up the acoustic panels because we put the piece to make it into a studio. We make a house a studio everywhere we are.
Yeah.
And I remember singing it, born free as the wind blows, you know, all that. And I remember up the ladders.
You were?
And I was up the ladders, and I'm screwing these panels in, and I'm singing it. It's off my voice. We had the vinyl, and it was just fantastic.
I remember that. That's a beautiful memory, actually. And it's like, that song rocks me. It's such a gentle beauty. It's love. I feel loved, you know? It's just one of those songs that will forever mean so much to me. And Matt Monro, you know, I didn't realise he was actually called Terence Edward Parsons.
No, I know that it
neither did I until I
Terry
heard it.
Parsons.
I know. He was born in London in 1930, and he had a bit of a difficult life because he didn't find success very easily, and he had various jobs. He was a bus conductor and a dock worker, and he started off in the clubs and the small venues, which actually now you think about it, it's the way to do it with all these grassroots venues. And, you know, he learned his craft and he got discovered by George Martin.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, in a pub, singing.
But you see, this is you're just going right back to the head of the show and talking about these grassroots venues. I don't know where the young bands now can play. I don't know where they're playing. You know, are they still playing in pubs? Are they starting off? Because, you know, when I started, I was so lucky. I didn't think I was, but God, there was, you know, you could play every night of the week and for reasonable money, you know, every night. And I used to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and now that live experience is going, you know, and people get a record deal and then they go out straight on the road and they don't actually, you know, they haven't got the chops or the experience to be able to do it. It's really, really hard, you know, and people can't jam anymore. And
jams are always, like, filmed. Everyone's got their cameras out, and I just wish they'd just shove them somewhere where the sun don't shine, you know, because yeah. It's like the whole point of jamming is that, you know, you don't want to be frightened to make mistakes. You want to actually explore things and try things out and take chances. And you know, and the next thing you know, it's always on social media, you know, filmed. And people, I know other musicians now, who won't jam because they just, you know, because they've got a profile and they don't want to be seen to be, you know, cocking up or doing something and experimenting, you know, that's going to get on YouTube or whatever.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
But this song, I think, is very suitable to dedicate to our friend Tony Husband, who passed away last week, very sadly and very swiftly. On Westminster Bridge, he had a heart attack and just went immediately. Very famous cartoonist. And we did a little article on our blog because we were going to work with him. We never actually met him. You know, we were a remote friend through his son, Paul, who does all our photography. You know, Paul Husband is a great photographer. He's photographed all the Manchester lot, you know, Elbow and you know,
Happy
Sean
Mondays.
Ryder and all those guys. And his dad, that's Tony, used to do illustrations and cartoons for Private Eye. And I think he did every one. He was in every edition from like 70 something. I can't remember now. It's a long, long time. But if you look at our blog, you'll see it with a little dedication to him, vibes.star-campbell.com.
And what was quite beautiful, actually, is that when we met Paul and had a photo session with him, and we saw this photo of Tony with his black Labrador, Sev, and we were just about to release The Language of Curiosity, the single from the album. And anyway, we messaged the guys and said, can we use that photo as our single artwork? And they loved the track. And they loved the idea. So, and I think Tony was really chuffed that he was actually on the front, you know, it was on a music single cover. So that was a lovely thing. And in fact, we were only just messaging a couple of weeks ago because we were hoping to meet up at our concert in Bury when we did the multimedia concert. But we just said, oh, next time, because he couldn't make it. Anyway, thank you, Tony, for the love and the kindness and the joy that you've brought to everybody. You're such a talented guy. But also, you know what really moves me with Tony Husband? He was such a beautiful man as well. He was just simply magnificent.
I but to surrender I just wept and regretted this moment. Oh, but I don't know where the sun leaves and the starlights begin. It's all a mystery. And I don't know how a man is silent, but rather it's all right. It's all a mystery.
The Flaming Lips, Flight Test. And the single version was released on the 23rd of June in 2003. It peaked at number 28 on the UK singles charts. And it's the third single to be picked from their 10th album, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots, which was released on the 16th of July on the Warner Brothers record label.
Blimey. Well, Flaming Lips, great.
Love the Flaming Lips.
Great.
Give me an inflatable ball anytime. I'll roll around in it and do concerts in it.
Wayne Coyne.
We love Wayne.
And Steve, is it Dritz? Dritz? I can never pronounce his name. But great guitar player. Great multi-instrumentalist, actually.
Yeah.
And I think out of all the American bands that are that are kicking out there.
Sorry, it just makes me laugh.
They are one of the best, as far as I'm concerned, because they keep coming up with new shit. You know, and last year we listened a lot to the latest album,
American Head, yeah.
And it was just genius, you know, during the pandemic. You know, they had these inflatable balls where people could go and see them live and they were all isolated and stuff from each other. It was really great, innovative stuff. I also like the fact they never left home. They live in Oklahoma City. They've always lived in Oklahoma City. He loves Oklahoma City, you know. And I saw a rig rundown with Steve. For guitar, you know, because if you listen to the show, you'll know I'm a real guitar geek. And he's such a cool guy. He uses very unusual stuff, and his guitar looks like it's been dragged behind a bus for about 1,000 miles, and he's got lots of stuff, but they're not sort of conventional instruments, you know.
Mm.
And he's been on a drug a really serious drug path, you know.
Yeah.
Wayne didn't know about it, Wayne Coyne, you know, because they're really the two main members of the band. But I've seen them live, a couple of times, and they're just sensational. I just love the Flaming Lips.
Didn't he write a song or something that he fibbed and said he got stabbed and he hadn't or something? So he wrote a song about him being stabbed, but it was all just
bitten by a spider.
Oh, that was it. Bitten by a spider. That's right. It was a spider bite.
Yeah, it wasn't a spider bite. It was the fact he was, doing drugs, you know.
Yeah.
So the needle punches on his arm, he blamed on that. And he has some infection or something, but anyway.
Interesting, though. But what I do like is that he writes about life, doesn't he, Wayne?
Yeah.
Then the band sort of embraces all different sounds and different things and they give each other new challenges. Remember that one album he said, we're not going to do any guitar?
Yeah, that's right. And they put the guitar on it.
Yeah.
Because he changed his mind at the end, you know. So no acoustic guitar on this at all, independent guitar. But it's the innovation that I really love, you know. And this album, of course, they've just released just a big tour based on this album, Yoshimi Battles of Pink Robots. And I remember getting it back in 2000 and, well, when it came out, you know. And I was just captivated by it. I had it on all the time. And I couldn't understand because Yoshimi, if you listen to that track, the drums, it's like a drum machine, and it's almost out of time. Mm. But it's sort of just, and it's constantly throwing you from a rhythmic point of view. But on this last album, American Head, some of the lyrics, you know, Mama,
Mother, yeah. I didn't mean to die
tonight.
Tonight, that's right. Something, yeah.
Please don't be sad. I didn't mean to die tonight. You know, and his voice is almost out of tune and broken. And, you know, and I really reconnected with them when they did, when Coyne sang with the Chemical Brothers on The Golden Path, which is one of my favourite songs of all time, really. It really is. And as I walk along the supposed golden path, it's like Neil Young on steroids or something, I don't know. But I just love him.
Do you know what I'd like to do? I think I'm going to write him a letter. I think we should. I'd love to collaborate with him on a track. I think it'd be really good fun.
Well, he's the man. Fionnuala Hunt, Oblivion, featuring the RT Concert Orchestra from the album Tangos and Dances, released in 2005 on AV Records. One of Astor Piazzolla's most popular tangos. Oblivion became widely known through the soundtrack of Marco Bellocchio's film Henry IV, The Mad King. That was a bit of a mouthful for me.
I know. I love that. Do you know, I absolutely adore that song. And the story goes, I was doing a second degree and I was commuting from Manchester up to Derby. And I was on the train and listening to the radio and this came on. And I heard it and I was just, so emotional. I went home and Googled it and tried to find out what they played. I went out and bought the album. And I love this about, you know, because it's basically Fionnuala is, she's just this classical music genius, but she also fuses tango as well in her repertoire. And so she's just released a hot, and it charts the history of the tango, this album, throughout the 1900s up to the present day. And I love the way Angela Rippon described the tango as the vertical expression of a horizontal desire.
Saucy.
I know,
saucy
that's
girl.
I got, like her legs.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Morecambe and Wise, that was very funny. That.
I know.
You've never seen her legs before.
No.
But, yeah, great tune. Very beautiful, isn't it? You know? And
yeah.
you can imagine it being tangoed up, you know, because of the tango.
Yeah.
That's the tango. It's a lot faster and has that very dramatic, you know, dance, South American dance.
I know. So there we are. We've been on an adventure, haven't we, with our Six Friendly Monkeys Living Under the Stairs playlist.
Yeah, and we're going to carry on next week. With a few weeks on this one, I think. But we're going to finish today with a track by Billy Cobham from Spectrum, which is his groundbreaking album in the 1973. And the reason why we're playing it is that we're going to go and see him on Saturday night.
We
because
are.
Because our new drummer, Hugo Danning, runs the Porto Drum Show. And I would urge, if you're listening to this and you're in Portugal or Spain, go, because, you know, the tickets are virtually sold out. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And you probably will never see Billy Cobham in Portugal again ever. He's in his 70s now. But he's going to play the whole of this record. So
I
we
can't
couldn't,
wait.
You know, so Hugo's invited us up there. We're going to go up there. And it's going to be absolutely brilliant. I mean, if you don't know about Billy Cobham, and if you don't, you should, because he was like the archetypal, he was the founder almost of jazz rock drumming. And this record, which when it came out, was absolutely remarkable.
It's all his fault then.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Because it was engineered by Ken Scott, but Billy Cobham, of course, on drums. Jan Hammer on keyboards. The late, great Tommy Bolin on guitar. And Echoplex, which is funny. Well, I use an Echoplex. And Lee Sklar on bass. You know? And,
dude.
It was just absolutely remarkable when it came out. And this is almost like a bit of a blues track, really, in a funny sort of way. But sort of jazzy blues. But extremely, extremely cool. Anyway, you've been listening to The Supertone Show.
I know. We're back. Episode 140.
Yeah.
And still going strong.
We are, yeah. So you can catch this at vibes.starlight-campbell.com. If you go on there, you'll see this and all our missives and stuff.
And also, subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we're going to join the Pro Creators group. That's at Starlight Campbell on YouTube. And we'll catch you next week.